Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Good morning. Welcome as we begin the third of the five books of Moses, the book of Leviticus, also known as Vayikra. And I think it would be appropriate to give a little bit of an introduction to Vayikra. Vayikra is known as a very holy book. Vayikra is the book of choice, which we use to begin studying Torah with little children when they enter into the Torah study system. We take a little child who comes into cheder, we put some honey on the page of Vayikra, and we read with him, and we have him lick the honey off the page to show him that the words of Torah are sweet. Why would we start with Vayikra? Vayikra is the third book. Why wouldn't we start with Bereishis? And there's a lot to be said. But in brief, Vayikra discusses that irrational, or better said, supra-rational relationship between God and the Jew. God demands of the Jew to bring sacrifices, even though it makes no sense. Even though there are some arguments and some opinions which say that sacrifices were appropriate in days of old, when everyone brought sacrifices and God wanted to offer the Jewish people something similar to what the surrounding nations had. And in fact, Maimonides, the Rambam himself, brings that down in the Guide for the Perplexed. But that's only for the perplexed. But for the non-perplexed, in his book of Halacha, he says that sacrifices are law without reason. It describes and expresses unique, special relationship between God and the Jewish people. I love to use this parable of a woman who says to her husband, "I want flowers. Give me flowers. Bring me flowers. It's our anniversary. It's my birthday. It's National Flower Day. Flowers. Erev Shabbat. Erev Chag." So her husband says to her, "What do you need flowers for? You know, flowers, they last 2, 3, 4 days, a week if you're lucky. And then you put them in the trash and they're very expensive. I don't think it's a good economic usage of funds. Let me buy you a good Sears Craftsman tool. It's your anniversary, let me buy you a lawnmower. I mean, an electric saw, a new screwdriver set. This is something meaningful and significant. What do you need flowers for? It doesn't make sense to me." She says to him, "Listen, if you love me, you'll buy me flowers. It does make sense. It doesn't make sense. If you care what I want, this is what I want. And if you want to do for me what I want, then flowers make a lot of sense. Say it with flowers." And that's why flowers is, I'm not an economist, but I guess a multi-billion dollar business. Very, very expensive. When Hashem says, "Bring a sacrifice," and the Jew says, "What for?" You take the meat, you burn it on the altar. Meat doesn't grow on trees, it costs money. What do you get from it? God doesn't enjoy the smell of meat. And God says, "Just do it, because it brings me a great feeling of nachas, reach nichoach ishel Hashem, a sweet aroma." Rashi says, "What aroma? What aroma? God needs the aroma of meat. Let him do a barbecue." The aroma is nachat ruach lefonai. It's a delight for me, says Hashem. She'amarti v'naaser etzeini. I say, and you do. I ask you to do something, you do it. That's, in short, the idea of the sanctity of a sacrifice. And that is why, as we look into the Rambam Maimonides, who is the unique halachic codifier, who codifies halacha as it was, as it is, and as it will be when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, we will once again bring sacrifices. I'm not sure how Peter is going to feel about it, but that's a different story. We'll deal with that later. But what is important is that the Torah tells us that this is a divine law. Nachmanides, the Ramban, many other great Jewish philosophers, not to mention Kabbalists, write endless volumes on the spirituality of sacrifices. Now, I want to just point out what may be the number one contribution related to sacrifices in the teachings of Chassidus, underscored again and again, is that, as we will learn, the one who slaughters the animal doesn't even have to be a Kohen by law. He could even be a non-Kohen. What we call in Halacha an alien. Alien relating to a Kohen. A non-Kohen is an alien. From the point of the sprinkling of the blood and onward, it must be a Kohen. Because the real service of sacrifices is represented by the sprinkling of the blood on the altar and the burning of the fat on the altar. And that represents, blood represents the passions of the human being. Fat represents the pleasures of the human being. We have to offer and sacrifice our passions and our pleasures to Hashem. Now let's translate that into English. We have to create a goal for ourselves. This is what we aspire to. That which truly gives us delight, that which is passionate within us, will be godly. That's the idea of a sacrifice. And when something is not 100%, we have to go back to the altar and make sure that we offer a sacrifice to Hashem, meaning that our passions and our pleasures are pointing in the right direction. Going a step further, as we will learn, the Alter Rebbe points out why it says in a few verses, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban Hashem, if a man will offer from amongst you an offering to Hashem, why it doesn't say it as it sounds, it should say, Adam mikem ki yakriv. Why does it say Adam ki yakriv mikem? Because in fact, we have to sacrifice on the altar our own animal, our animal soul, the animal within us. Because we are all endowed with an animal soul that wants animal activities. What are animal activities? The soul makes sure that our body wants to eat, wants to acquire, wants power, wants recognition, and so on and so forth. And all the things that animals do, the animal soul. Different folks have different kinds of animal souls. As he says, the offering could come from a sheep or from a bull. Some animal souls are sheep. They're very gentle. All they want is a little fun. Some are bulls. They want to control their environment. We have to take our animal soul and bind it on the altar of Hashem and offer it to Hashem. These are some of the symbolic teachings of the book of Leviticus. We'll begin. Vayikra el Moshe, and he, God, called out to Moshe, Vaydaber Hashem Elov, and God spoke to him, Me'ohel Moed, out of the tent of meeting, Lamor, saying, Rashi, why does this begin with the words Vayikra, and he called el Moshe? So he says, L'chol dibreso, l'chol amireso, l'chol tzivuyim. Every time God spoke, every time God said, every time God commanded, called Mokriya, there's always a calling. What is the idea of God called to Moshe? Loshen chiba. It's a term of endearment. You call to someone because you love them. Loshen shamalachei asharis mishtamshim bei. It's an expression which angels use. Shenemar, as it says, the famous verse in Isaiah, V'koro zeh el zeh, became famous because we've incorporated into our Kedusha. And one calls to the other and says to Hashem, Kadosh, Kadosh. One angel calls to the other. So that when Hashem calls Moshe, who is Moshe? Moshe is the prophet, the father of all prophets. Lokom Novi Old Kimosha. Never again will there be a prophet at the level of Moshe. All other prophets, and there were many, could not compare to Moshe, because most of the prophets could not even be conscious when God spoke with them. They would fall. They would have nighttime visions. Hashem would appear to them through dream, in the manner of dreams and so on. But Moshe could literally stand on his feet and speak to Hashem. One of the reasons our sages tell us is because Moshe's body was holy. It says that Moshe was born circumcised. It says when Moshe was born, the whole house was filled with light. Moshe's body was holy as well. Whereas the other prophets, great as they were, and they were great, they didn't come close to Moshe. Not to mention, there were also some prophets of the nations of the world, most notably Bilam, who happened to make some very bad choices in his life, and he was filled with greed and negativity. Those were his choices. He could have been as great as Moshe, but he wasn't. It's with regard to him, we'll point out that the level of revelation was at a different level. And that's what Rashi says. Abel and Avia Umas Olam, to the prophets of the nations of the world, especially Bilam, who made very negative choices. Nigla Aleim Bilshein Arami Vituma. The expression is not Vayikra, he called, term of endearment, but the opposite, impurity. Shenemar Vayikra Elokim El Bilam, that God met with Bilam. Now there's a very big difference between meeting and calling. What is the difference? The difference is a little tiny aleph, and we'll talk about the fact that the aleph here is tiny. Calling means God speaks to you. There's a plan. You're part of the plan. You're partnering with God. Meeting means an accident. It happened. A coincidence. Hashem revealed himself to the prophets who didn't merit his revelation in a form of vayikar, impurity. The word keri is a nocturnal pollution, an impure experience. He had to reveal himself, but it wasn't with intent, it wasn't public, and so on. Vayikra is the opposite. And there's a lot more to be said about that. We'll look into the Baal HaTurim soon. Vayikra el Moshe, he called to Moshe, Hakel Heilech Omagia LaOznov, the voice of God went and reached his ears. V'chol Yisrael Eshemin, however, all of Israel would not hear. Only Moshe would hear. That's what we call the cone of silence, for those who understand. Yochal aplahap sokas hoysakriya. I would think that also when Moshe stopped between paragraphs, there was also, when Hashem stopped speaking to Moshe because there was a paragraph break, there was also, Hashem called him again, tamalemi vayadaber, ledibur hoysakriya, for major paragraphs, for major pauses, there was again calling, v'lei lapsokas, but not at every paragraph. Now the question is, umeha yopsokas mishamshes. What was the purpose of this pause? Liten rebach lameshel izbeinim bein pasha laparsha. To give Moshe space to meditate, to digest each portion. Ubein inyan leinyan, between subject, one subject and the other. Kal v'chemen, how much more so lehedyet, to a simple human teacher, or a simple human student, Halaymid bin Ahedyet, who learns from an ordinary man, not God teaching Moshe, or not Moshe learning from God, but a simple man learning from a simple man, that the teacher always has to be aware and sensitive and cognizant of the limitations of the students. A classical example, which I love to give here, is that we merited for some 40 years that the Rebbe would talk to his Hasidim at a gathering. That gathering was called the Fabrengen. You can go today online and find the Fabrengen, many Fabrengens. And the Rebbe would speak. He would speak for 20 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, and then he would stop. People would sing, and the singing would go on for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, and then he would go to the next talk. Stop, singing, the next talk. This pause was perhaps what we're talking here, to allow people to assimilate and to digest and to take a breather. That's important, and it's an important lesson. It's an important lesson for a teacher in general, that we have to allow people to be able to assimilate and digest. Elov lemayitas Aharon. This teaches us that God called to him and not to Aharon, meaning that Aharon was at the second stage, Moshe taught Aaron. It was rare that God appeared to Moshe and Aaron together. It says 13 different times in the Torah that God spoke to Moshe and Aaron. And corresponding to that, there are 13 expressions of limitation to teach you that even those were not said to Aaron. That Moshe should convey to Aaron. Rashi brings down these grammatic expression of limitation. Ledaber ito, to speak to him. Midaber elov, to him. By daber elov and elad to the chah, I will make myself known to you. Kulam betetus kainim, they're all in the book known as Toras Kohanim, the laws of the priests. The book of Leviticus is Toras Kohanim. Yochal yishmur sakel adibur, I would think that everyone would hear this voice. Talmud Lamer, it says, Kel elov, the voice came to Moshe. Moshe shomeya, Moshe would hear. V'chol Yisrael shomo, the rest of Israel wouldn't hear. Why wouldn't they hear? You think God whispered? The answer is no. Me'ohel mo'ed melamed shayakel nifsak, because the voice would stop at the gateway of the tabernacle. V'loy haya yetze chutz lo'oil. Yochol, it wouldn't go out outside the tabernacle. Yochol, I would think, v'mnei shakel nomach. I mean, the tabernacle was curtains. It was certainly not soundproof. I mean, here we have a wall that they tell us is soundproof, and it's not even soundproof. But the tabernacle was not soundproof. So how is it that Moshe only heard and no one else heard? Maybe God whispered. Well, that's a problem too. Talmud Lamed as Hakel, the voice. Mao Hakel, what's the voice? Hakel amafurish betilim. It's the same voice in chapter 29 in Tilim, which is part of the Friday night prayers. Kol HaShem ba'akoach. Kol Hashem Bohodr, the voice of Hashem, was booming with strength, with splendor. Kol Hashem Shever Arozim, the voice of Hashem, was so powerful, it could break cedar wood. So that's not exactly a whisper. Im Kain, Loma Nemra Me'el Me'ed, why does it say from the tent of meeting, Balamid, Shakel Nipsik, the voice stopped. That's what we're talking about, the cone of silence. The sound of the cherubim, the flapping wings, was heard until the outer courtyard. It was not. Miraculously, the voice stopped when it came to the gateway of the tabernacle. That's the bottom line. Miracles. I would think from the entire house, the voice emanated from the top of the ark cover in the Holy of Holies. I would think from the entire top, from the between the two kerubim, the kerubim were the design on the ark cover. And we learned earlier that the Baal Turim brought down that look at the first letter of the three words, Mibain, Shnei HaKerubim, Moshe, Mem Shinhei. That this was a special message to Moshe, Lamor, saying, go, speak to them words which will help them return to Hashem. Do you know why God is speaking to me, said Moshe to the Jewish people. God told him to say this, because of you. The only reason God reveals himself to me, said Moshe, is because I am your leader. Moshe is the Rebbe of the Jewish people. That's why God reveals himself to him. In fact, we find all 38 years that the Jewish people were in the desert, after the story of the spies, before the last year, they were almost as if they were excommunicated. Because once we come past the point of the story of the spies and onward, Hashem did not unite with Moshe in speech. It was when everybody of that generation perished. Then God spoke to me. In fact, it's important to know that the entire five books of Moses and the entire story of the desert and all the interaction between God and Moshe and Israel in the desert during the 40 years, there's nothing going on during the 38 intermediate years. It's all during the first year and a half and the last year. It's Bashon HaRishayna, the first year. There's some stuff in the second year. Then comes the story of the spies. Then comes 38 years of silence, wandering. Then comes the 40th year. And suddenly, there's a whole book of Devarim. And even earlier. I go tell them my words, and let me know, report back to me if they're willing to accept. That Moshe would report the people's acceptance to Hashem. Okay, we've gone on and on because there's a lot of stuff here, but let's quickly look at the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim tells us, among other things, that the Aleph is a miniature Aleph. Certain letters in the Torah are oversized, certain letters are undersized. You know, like, honey, I shrunk the Aleph. What is the significance of the small Aleph? Moshe was great, and Moshe was humble. And Moshe wanted to write Vayikar. God met with me. God says no. The world needs to know that I called you with endearment. So Moshe insisted. So Hashem said, okay, we'll come to a compromise. We'll use an Aleph, but we'll have a small Aleph. Another teaching from other interpretations is this is symbolic of the fact that when we start studying Torah with Jewish children, the little Aleph, we begin with Vayikra. Vayikra el Moshe, those three words, says the Baal HaTurim, have the acrostic Imo, his mother, Aleph, Mem, Vav. And that is the imagery that King Solomon uses. Ba'atoro she'itmer lo imei, the crown that his mother gave him, relating to the Torah being the crown of the Jewish people. Says the Baal HaTurim, there are five Alephs in this verse, corresponding to the five books of the Torah, Chamisha Chumash Torah. There are nine words in this verse. There are also nine words in the first verse of the Ten Commandments, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, to teach you that anyone who studies Torah, it's as if he offers all the sacrifices. Similarly speaking, in the main sacrifice, which is the burnt offering, there are also nine words in the verse, Zos Torah Sa'ola, this is the law of the burnt offering. This is some of the symbolism here in the Baal HaTurim. Verse 2, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, v'amat aleim, and say to them, Odom ki yakriv mikem korban l'Hashem, if a man who will offer from amongst you an offering to Hashem, and this is the verse that the Alter Rebbe comments on, that the offering has to come from you, from your animal, mina behema, from the animal. We all have different kinds of animals. Mina bokar, cattle, mina tzein, sheep. Takrivu es korbanchem. Those are the animal families that sacrifices can come from. Goats, sheep, rams, bulls. Verse 2, Odom ki yakriv mikem, kishi yakriv, when he does, bekorbonos nedova, diber ho'inyan. This portion begins with a free will burnt offering. Now, there are various types of offerings. We're beginning with a burnt offering. This is called a korban ola, a burnt offering, totally burnt on the altar. Why would someone want to bring a burnt offering? It's a special experience. If there was a sin of omission, where someone omitted the observance of a positive commandment inadvertently, someone didn't get a chance to do a positive commandment one day, one of the methods of atoning for that was to bring a burnt offering. Other reasons why people would bring a burnt offering. The famous joke I like to tell of the woman and man who got married, and they say to the man, how is your marriage? You're listening, Jack. They say, how is your marriage? He says, my wife treats me, she thinks I'm God. We say, what do you mean? She brings me burnt offerings. It's only a joke. Adam, lomo ne'mar, why does it say Adam here? Mo Adam Arishan, because it's like Adam Arishan. Le'hikrev minagozel, Adam, the first man, did not offer anything stolen. Because there was no one else, he owned everything. Shakel Hayashalai, everything belonged to him. There were two things unique about Adam, among other things. Number one, everything belonged to him. There was no competition. And number two, he had no mother-in-law. It's only a joke. Af atem le sakrivu min agozel. So also you should not offer from stolen. You can't steal and then offer sacrifices. Habehema yochal af chaye bechlai. I would think that wild animals are also included. Tamalei mebokar vatzein. Only the families of cattle and sheep in the broad sense. Mina behema b'lei kula. Not every type of domestic animal, for example, if something inappropriate was done to the animal could never be offered as a sacrifice. Classical point of inappropriate, Rashi brings down several examples. Example number one is the animal was used by a human being for a relationship of intimacy. This makes the animal unholy, could never be brought as an offering. Another example, min habakar lahaytias hanevad, an animal which was worshipped as a holy cow, as an idol. Min hatzein lahaytias hamukza, an animal not worshipped yet but designated as idolatry. All of these animals that engaged in intimacy with people, animals that were worshipped, animals designated for idolatry, all of these could never be brought to the altar. An animal that gores and kills someone. You can't use an animal that killed somebody. Which, of course, excludes an animal that's affected with a disease which will not permit it to live 12 months or more. This teaches us that there could be a partnership in this offering. That this can also come as a communal offering. When does this come as a communal offering? This is an interesting economic concept. This would be the summer offering of the altar. What's the summer offering of the altar? Slow season. It's hot. People are busy, they're on vacation, and they're not bringing sacrifices. But the Kohanim need to keep busy. Like the guy says, you know, my factory is empty. I'm just doing stuff just to keep the crew busy. This is where communal offerings were made just to keep the crew busy. That's the Ketz HaMizbeach. Habom and HaMetzis, that comes from the surplus funds of the temple just to keep things going in slow season. Verse three. Now there are various types of sacrifices. Type number one discussed in the Torah is the burnt offering. We're also going to learn about many other different types of offerings. In general terms, you have the burnt offering, the ola. You have the chatos, the sin offering for inadvertent transgression of negative commandments. I underscore the word inadvertent, accidental. A person could never intentionally transgress God's law and get atonement through a sacrifice. It doesn't work that way. This is inadvertent, accidental. There is shlomim, a peace offering, when somebody's having a good day. You say, you know what? Thank God. Like somebody's having a good week or month or year in business. You remember that? And he says, you know what, I want to say Baruch Hashem, I want to bring a peace offering. That's similar to a thanks offering. Korban Toda, you want to say thank you to Hashem. Then there's a guilt offering. These are some of the major types of offerings which we're going to be learning about. There are meal offerings which are brought from flour and oil and so on. Okay, so im eila karbonai, if the offering is a burnt offering, min habakar of the cattle, zachar tomim yakirvenu, if you're going to bring it from cattle, it has to be male without blemish. El pesach ayomed yakirvesi, you bring it to the door of the tabernacle, l'ritzene, for goodwill, if ne Hashem, before Hashem. Verse 3, this particular offering, zachar, has to come from a male animal, v'leina keva, not a female animal. Shreim zachar lamato. When he says male, it implies a male, but not an animal whose sex is not clear. Tomim b'leimum, without blemish. HaPesach ha'yomeid metapa b'avos ha'ad ha'zorah. He has to bring it into the courtyard. Ma'ay me'yakirv yakirv ha'fil nesar ve'lisruv ve'lishim. And even if the sacrifice of Mr. A got mixed up with the sacrifice of Mr. B, yakirv kolecha v'shem yishu, they should each bring it. V'chein oyle b'chulin, likewise a burnt offering were mixed up with a non-burnt offering. Yimachru achol netzarcha elis. Let them sell the non-burnt offering for the purpose of burnt offerings. V'harei hein kulin elis, so they all have that sanctity. Of kol achas l'shem mishu, and they should each be offered for that sake. Yochal afil nesar v'psulim, but if the animal was confused and mixed up with unfit animals, aybishenimini, with another kind, tamer lemi yakrivenu, no, only it, not unfit animals, not other kinds. Yakiv eisei melamet shekeifenei say, this teaches us that if a person makes a vow and he says, I vow to bring a burnt offering, and then he says, never mind, I changed my mind, that he could be coerced to do it. We have to keep, a person has to keep his vow. The court has a right to coerce him. Yochel bar kochei, I would think, against his will. Tamar lemon, no, they're saying it has to be free will. They can force him freely. How do you force somebody freely? Ha'ketzad, keifen eisei atriyei mereitzani. You force him to bring it until he says, I am bringing it willingly. You make him an offer he can't refuse. The Rebbe actually talks about this, Chassidus talks about this, because we find this in several places. How could it be that you force someone to do something willingly? The answer is that every human being is made up of two powers, two energies, the godly soul and the animal soul. The godly soul wants to do what's right. The animal soul doesn't. If you start forcing and lashing the animal soul, that's what you call an attitude adjustment. Suddenly the animal soul becomes subjugated and the godly soul says, yes, I always wanted to. So that's how you can have the coercion to want to. L'fnei Hashem b'samach ein smicha b'bomo. Part of the ritual of off sacrifices is the laying of the hands. We only do that in the tabernacle or later holy temple. We don't do that on a temporary altar. There are so many laws alluded to in these portions, you can't go into depth in each and every one of them. 1/6 of the Mishnah deals with sacrifices. Verse 4, V'samach yod yarei sho'ilo, he lays his hands on the head of the offering, v'nirtzer lo, it shall be accepted for him, l'chaper olav, to make atonement for him. Rashi yarei sho'ilo, l'havi eiles cheva l'smicha, that the burnt offering, that's an obligation, has to have the laying of the hands, or the havi eila satzein, to include a burnt offering of sheep, ha eila pratla eila soeif, but not a burnt offering of fowl, does not require the laying of the hands. Venirzele al malmeratzele, for what? What kind of sin? Im temen al chrisum, Mrs. Bezne, Mrs. Bishamayim Malkus, if you're saying it makes atonement for someone who is cut off, his soul is cut off, or death penalty, or heavenly death, or lashes, we don't find that someone has the option of bringing in a sacrifice and getting out of those punishments. Only for a sin of omission of a positive commandment, as I mentioned earlier. Or certain negative commandments which are stated together with positive commandments that fall into this category. Verse 5. So he slaughters the bull, the young bull before Hashem, v'hikribu b'nei Aaron ha'kohenim es adam. Then, and here, the Kohen kicks in, the sons of Aaron, the Kohenim, will take the blood. V'zorko es adam, they'll dash the blood, sprinkle the blood, olam esveach saviv, round about the altar, asher pesach ha'yom meyed. Which altar? The altar that's in the courtyard, near the gateway of the tabernacle. Not the gold altar in the courtyard. That's only for the smoking of the incense. From this point and on, it's a mitzvah for a kohen to do it. Lima, this teaches you, al hashchita, that the actual slaughtering, shekshayda bizar, is kosher for a non-kohen to do. Technically, an Israelite, a non-kohen, could slaughter the animal, lefnei Hashem bazara, in the temple courtyard. Mikribuzu kabola, this is receiving the blood, shidushena, this is the first, mishma losh nailocha, it means bringing, lamadum v'nei aron, that this has to be the kohen, Bnei Aaron Yachal Chalolam, I would think an unfit Kohen. What's an unfit Kohen? If a Kohen marries a woman, the Torah says he shouldn't marry. For example, a Kohen should not marry a divorced woman. What if he does? Then his children are unfit Kohanim. Tamar Lemer HaKohanim. Es Adam Bezorko Es Adam. Ma Tamar Lemer Dam Dam Shnei Poma. Why does it say in this verse the word Dam twice? Lahavi Eshenesar B'minei Eshenei Minei. If the blood was mixed up with the another basin of blood, same species, other species. Yachala B'Psulim, I would think if it's unfit, Ebchatos HaPrimis, or with sin offerings whose blood must be sprinkled in the tabernacle, Ebchatos HaChitzena, or other type of offerings, She'elamayla V'hilamata, some are above the line of the altar. There was a line of the altar, top and bottom. Some offerings, the sprinkling had to be at the top, some at the bottom. Tamalei B'Makamachar, Domei, its blood. So there's a lot of detailed laws. Zorku, Emid Lamati stands below Bezedek, and he dashes Min Hakeli from a vessel, Lekesel, towards the wall. Hamizbeach of the altar, Lamata Michutasika, below the red line, there was the red line that separated. This particular sprinkling was below the red line. Keneged Azovius against the corners. How do you go round the altar? You hit the corner. Because the corner, for example, in this room, right there, that would be the south east corner. So if you're standing outside and you hit that corner, then you hit the south side and the east side. You go there, that's the northwest corner. It's also an airline. The blood should be applied in the four sides of the altar, east, west, north, south. Maybe it means all around, you got to go paint all around. You can't just dash it on two corners. Izako Yachal Bzika Achas, Tamale Besovi, roundabout. What are we talking about? Nais and Shte Matonis. It's two sprinklings. One, two caddy corners. Shehein Arba, which make four sides. Asher Pesach Ayomayed, Vele Bisman Shumapurik. It has to be while the tabernacle is standing. You can't do this while the tabernacle is laying down or dismantled. It's got to be an operative tabernacle. Verse 6, V'hifshit esoela, he then flays the burnt offering, v'nitachesel nesachah, and cuts it into pieces. Rashi, v'hifshit matam lemeoela, the burnt offering. The Rabbi says, kol oela, the entire burnt offering, l'hafshit v'nituach, for flaying and cutting into pieces. Esel nesachah, v'lein nesachah, nesachah, he cuts it into pieces, but not the pieces into pieces. 7, v'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen, eshal mezbeach, the sons of Aaron the Kohenim, shall place fire on the altar. V'yorcho etzim aloeshen, they shall place wood on the altar. Very important. Rashi 7. V'nosnu esh, apal pi, sho'esh yeredes min ha-shamayim. What do we need the Kohanim to place fire on the altar? The litmus test to prove that this was godly is that God sent fire down from heaven on the altar. Still, even though God sends fire from heaven, mitzvah lahavi min ahejit, the Kohen still has to bring his own fire. Because we can't rely on God. Yes, he sends fire, but we have to bring our own. Bnei Aaron ha-Kohen k'shum b'kihunei, when he is in the Kohen mode, hoyim avad b'bigde kohen hejit, but if he officiated in the garments of an ordinary priest, avedasim psula, his service becomes unfit. Everything has to be meticulously following the rules. The Kohen Gadol must serve in the garments of the Kohen Gadol. The regular Kohen must serve in the garments of the regular Kohen. Everything according to the rules. 8, v'orchu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohenim, and the sons of Aaron, the Kohen, will place es ha-nesochem, the pieces, es ha-roish, the head, yes, hapoder, and the sweat, al ha-etzim, on the wood, asher al ha-esh, upon the fire, asher al mizbeach. That's why it's a burnt offering. B'nei Aaron ha-Kohenim, shem bikunim, while they are Kohenim, ha-Kohen, had you trouble b'shrein of God, ha-ebdas ha-psula. If a regular Kohen wore the high priestly garment, you could say, hey, he did better. No, he's unfit. Es ha-nesochem, es ha-resh, v'shein ha-resh, b'chlal ha-hepshet, shekwar hutas b'shchita, since the head is not included in the flaying, because it was already severed by slaughtering, that's why it has to be enumerated separately. You bring it up to the altar with the head, and you cover the place of the slaughtering. It's to give respect. That the pieces should not stick out outside the pile of wood. 9, and the inwards and the legs you should wash them with water. The Kohen will make everything burn on the altar. Ola is a burnt offering. Ishe, a fire offering. What is this all about? This is the first of many. Reach, nichoach, lashem, a sweet savor to Hashem. Look at this Rashi, because it's important. Ola l'shem, ola yakterenu. It must be for the sake. Ishe, kishchotenu yeshech l'shem ha'esh. When he offers it, when he slaughters it, it has to be for the sake of placing it on the fire. V'chol isha, the word isha means esh. That's why we translate it a fire offering. Nichoach, that's the Rashi I wanted you to listen to. The word nichoach comes from the word nachas. Nachas ruach lefonai. God says, it's a great pleasure and gratification for me, shamarti, when I say something, v'nas eretzeni, and my will is done. That's why the word used to describe the intense gratification and pleasure that parents get when they see their children growing up properly, it's nachas. There is no better word, nachas. I have nachas. Hashem says, I have nachas. Very just important example. Anyone who is a parent here knows that as you raised your children through the years and you told your child to do something, like you can't play in the middle of the street, there are cars there. The child says, I hate you. I hate you. I don't want to see you anymore. I hate you. Did a kid ever say that to you? I hate you. Didn't happen to you, huh? I'm going back to therapy. So I always said to my children, who are now, Baruch Hashem, grown up, most with children of their own, I always said to my children, you don't have to love me. You only have to listen to me. You don't have to love me. Just listen to me. Hashem says, I get such nachas when you listen to me. That's what it's all about. And that's the reyach nichoach Hashem. Verse 10, what if he decides to bring a sheep? A sheep, or a goat sheep, as a burnt offering, that's an option. Zachar tomim, Yakirveno must be male without blemish. Then why is there a space? You see that? Before verse 10, you see a samach. Between 9 and 10, in the Chumash, there's a little samach. Samach stands for space. Just kidding. Lama, that's the paragraph. The lama hupsik. Why is there a break? Come on, guys, wake up. I know we changed the clock. Litain revach lemeisha lizbeinin bein parsha leparsha. To give Moshe some space to meditate between portions. Minatzein, minaksovim, minoizim. From the flock of sheep, goats, elogim miyutim. There are three limitations here. You see, it could have just said, tzein kvosim izim. Min hatzon, min hakvosim, min oizim. Every word in the Torah is precious. What does it teach us? This is called a miyut, a limitation. Therefore, it tells us that there are three types of sheep and goats that cannot be offered. What are the three types? Lezokain, an old sheep or goat. It's a bushet and tzahargit, like Jackie Mason says. Ulechela, a sick sheep or goat. Vilimzehom, or a filthy sheep or goat. These three may not be offered as sacrifices. You know, a human being goes, he has a good day, he makes a pledge or whatever it is, or he does a sin, he makes a pledge, he's going to bring or whatever. And then when it comes to bringing, he says, well, you know, it cost a lot of money. Let me find some animal that's old and sickly and filthy and tzablujit and tzahargit, and what's the difference? They're going to smoke it on the altar anyway. No good. When we give to Hashem, we have to give the best. Verse 11, v'shochatayse, so they slaughter it, al yerech ha-mizbeach, on the side of the altar, tzafona, the north side, lefnei Hashem. Various offerings had to be brought on various sides of the altar. V'zorko, and they sprinkled or dashed. Who should? B'nei Aaron HaKohen, the sons of Aaron the Kohen, have done the blood, al-mizbeach, saviv, round about the altar. Al-yerech ha-mizbeach, al-tzad ha-mizbeach, means the side of the altar. 12, and Nita Chesed and Sochav, they would cut it up as Reshe with its head, as Pidre, and the sweat of Aruch HaKayin Eishim, and the Kohen shall place them. Alo Eitzim on the wood, Ashal Eish, which is on the fire, Ashal Mizbeach, which is upon the altar. I do want to point out, as we will learn in the next week's Torah portion, that any of this could only be brought after the communal burnt offering was brought in the morning. The business in the tabernacle and later in the Beis HaMikdash opened every morning with the communal Tamid offering and closed every evening with the communal Tamid offering. That's the Olas Tamid. Now we're talking about individual offerings that have to be brought well after the communal offerings, but this is the first detailed mitzvah which the Torah begins Leviticus with. 13, V'akerev HaKrayim Yechatz B'moyim, and the inwards and the legs you wash with water. V'ikrev HaKrayim HaSakel, and the Kohen offers it all. V'ikterem HaMizbecha, and cause it to smoke in the altar. Elohu, this is the meaning of a burnt offering. Ishei, a fire offering. Reach Nicheyach, a sweet savor LaHashem, giving nachas to Hashem. And before we wrap it up, I do want to point out a very important teaching of Chassidus on this portion, going back to the very beginning. Vayikra el Moshe, there's a little aleph. It's not Vayikor, but it's Vayikra. This makes all the difference in the world. This is what Judaism lives and dies with. And that is that life is not just a bunch of happenstance. It's not just a bunch of coincidences. Vayikar, it happened, this happened, that happened. Stuff happens, as the bumper sticker says. Vayikar means stuff happens. And it's random. Vayikra. Every single thing that happens to us, God calls us. Is it always pretty? Unfortunately, it's not always pretty. But there are no random occurrences. Everything happens for a reason. Hashem has expectations of us. We have to utilize every situation and maximize our connection to Hashem, to Torah, to mitzvahs, to kindness, to goodness. We should never feel like a piece of wood floating in a big ocean. We are there, and Hashem, with his little aleph, is calling out to each and every one of us with divine, individual, divine providence. Hashem is there. He's watching over us. He's concerned for us. Not always do we understand, but we're always connected. That's a very important message of this portion. End of Chumash portion.